When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026. As Nick joins us now here on The Fan, and a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
It's great to be with you guys. I'm doing great, and I am looking forward to seeing if the Spurs have anything left after that meltdown the other night.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. Do you think it was a critical blow that they can't recover from?
I do. I think they can get through Game 5, but I'd be surprised at this point if it gets past 6. Because if you have had control in all these different games at various points, and you have that game where you're up 29 in the third quarter and you lose, you can be a mentally tough team, but I don't think anybody is recovering from that kind of meltdown. Because, guys, that was one of the worst chokes that we've ever seen in the league. And in that moment, on that type of platform, as great and as talented as that team is, I don't think they can win three in a row off that kind of mistake.
How do these finals compare, the quality of these teams compare to others throughout the past in your lifetime covering the sport?
I think that both of these teams offer balance, the likes that we haven't seen, at least that jumps out to me, guys, since I know that last year went to Game 7 with the Thunder and the Pacers, but there just wasn't a lot of interest, and I didn't think that the talent on both sides matched up. I mean, as far as evenly matched teams go, the series I go back to is when the Cavs came back down from 3-1 and LeBron led them by the Warriors, and they won, and there was such an outpouring after that game because, you know, they ended up seeing the Warriors a lot of times. But in those years, and in that year specifically, it felt like both of those teams were right about the same level. So I'm still surprised that the Knicks got to this point where they're a game away from winning the title. The Spurs are going to be here several more times, assuming they can stay healthy and Wemby continues to progress. But as far as how evenly played these games have been and the talent on both sides, I think this matchup jumps ahead of many over the last decade and a half or so.
Wemby's been really good in stretches, Nick, but obviously he's getting a lot for the lack of fourth quarter production and the two missed free throws. What's your assessment overall of how Wemby's played in his first finals?
Guys, I grew up in Orlando, Florida, and when I was 10, 11 years old, I was lucky enough to see a lot of those Shaq and Penny games. And I can't tell you how many times I have thought back to that team in that moment as I watch Wemby now. Because I think, to me, as far as impact goes, and certainly they don't have the same type of game, but as far as their impact, Wemby's the closest thing I've seen to Shaq in just the ability to take over in a different way than we've seen before. I mean, we haven't seen a guy who's 7'5", shoot it like Steph, and be the defensive menace that he can be. But if we've learned anything over the last couple of weeks of this series specifically, he's just not ready yet. There is something, too, you've got to go through it, and you've got to have those moments where you do fail on the big stage, and you do learn from those experiences, and he's going through it right now. So I think the future is incredibly bright for him. He's only going to get better, and he's going to enjoy learning from this in his own way. But he reminds me so much of Shaq on that 95 Magic team, because everybody thought that he would come in and be able to dominate, and it just hasn't worked out that way. And in a lot of ways it hadn't worked out because he's 22 years old and he's still trying to find his way in his own career.
Is it time for Dylan Harper to be the man above De'Aaron Fox here at this point? I mean, what are we dealing with Harper? He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable, and the answer is yes. I mean, guys, I'm sitting there watching that game the other night in the fourth quarter. I'm like, why isn't Dylan Harper on the floor? Why don't you just let him do whatever he's going to do? De'Aaron Fox, those meltdowns and the plays that he not only made but that he didn't make, late in the second half, just leave you scratching your head. The hope was that as a veteran, he has been able to see a lot more things than a lot of his younger teammates. But this is where you have to remind yourself. He was in Sacramento. I mean, they didn't play a hell of a lot of big games. He's trying to go through it in a lot of ways and figure it out for himself on his own. So, absolutely. I am... As far as who needs to show up and produce in Game 5, to me, guys, there's nobody I'm looking at more than De'Aaron Fox. I mean, there's going to be, what will Wemby do, and can Jalen Brunson have another big game, and can he be the MVP? Although right now I'd probably give it to Ananobi because of what he's been able to do. But Fox has got to show up because he had a total, total meltdown. And the Spurs on the whole did, but the plays that he was making in those final stretches, I mean, they were just really, really bad. And if he's any kind of real player that you're building around, he's got to be the guy that helps set the tone in Game 5.
Nick, and you mentioned watching that game, when did you think that the Spurs were in trouble? How far into that second half were you like, man, this thing could maybe go the other way? Is there a particular play or moment where things started going bad in your eyes?
I think in later towards the third quarter when they kept jacking up those threes, guys.
Sure.
That's where I started to go, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
On a basic level. Now, I say that, they were still up like 15 going into the fourth. So, to sit there and tell you, oh, I thought that could happen, I was worried. No, I didn't think that was a real concern. I think when you came down in the fourth and you're at 7 or 8 minutes and Brunson starts knocking down shots,
yeah,
then you started to go, is this really going to happen? And I think what would scare me if you're the Spurs is not only did you have that game wrapped up, but it was like they didn't even know where to turn. It wasn't like, all right, well, let's get Wemby down on the blocks and get an easy couple buckets, or let's get somebody free for a jumper. They just completely bleeped themselves is what they did. So I think with 4 or 5 minutes left, I started to think, I think this is going to happen. And then it did happen. And that's why – it goes back to the top. I don't see how, after blowing the game in the manner in which they did, that San Antonio could come back and win three straight. But I say that knowing that if you're Mitch Johnson and the coaching staff, mm-hmm. all you're telling your guys is, hey, I mean, this thing by rights could already be over because you've had it every single time. You just haven't found a way to close. If they close, things can change. But they're a really young team. They've made a ton of mistakes, and I don't know how you can overcome them at this stage.
Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, like our next generation EV, the Ioniq 9, Hyundai official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Nick, what do you think that Greg Popovich was thinking when he was watching that game?
If you're Pop and you're sitting up there as somebody who has had the success and the control, guys,
yeah.
that he's had over that program for so many years and watched so many teams and been able to adjust on the fly, you just got to feel sick to your stomach because you're sitting up there and you can't do anything. And I think that Mitch Johnson in the regular season, he proved that he's a really good young coach. But we're sitting here talking about Wemby and De'Aaron Fox, the guy who has gotten absolutely – run around in this series is Mitch. I mean, that he looks like he's out of his coaching class with what's happened at various points in this series and the adjustments that Mike Brown has been able to make and the adjustments the Spurs haven't made. So if you're Greg Popovich and you're sitting up there and you've watched your team and your organization have all this success for so many years, and then you continually see, and it's not just game four. I mean, the end of game two, when
right.
he's throwing the ball off his back, and you're going, what is happening? You've got to just feel like, man, I wish that I was still doing what I love to do because you had, in theory, the control to change things up.
It's Nick Friedell here with you on The Fan. During the West Finals, I was convinced OKC was going to win and that Knicks fans were going to lose their bleep when they probably got swept and SGA was flopping all over the court. Then San Antonio won. So I guess, Nick, my question is, do you think New York would have done this to OKC as well?
No, because I thought exactly what you thought. I thought that the Thunder would find a way, that SGA was that good that even without J-Dub and some of the pieces that weren't available, that they would still be able to overcome all that. And what we found in this series is that San Antonio, because of Wemby and the matchups, they just provided an especially difficult matchup challenge for the Thunder. And they're going to have a lot of battles for a lot of years to come, which I think, on a broader note, is much better for the league because we so desperately need to see rivalries again. Teams not like each other. That is a good thing. But to the point about the Thunder and the Knicks, I think the Thunder would have wiped the Knicks out. I know the Knicks have played very well, and they've been on this unbelievable hot streak, but the Thunder have all kinds of size. They can hit offensively from all these different places, and they have that championship experience that we're talking about. I think what we've seen is that San Antonio's youth has just really, really hurt them in this moment on this stage. So the Thunder have got to be sitting there going, oh my gosh, how did we not just close this thing out and make it happen? They didn't. That's pro sports. Things can change in a blink, but I would be really surprised if the Thunder and the Spurs aren't back there next year and aren't facing off again to see what's what if everybody's healthy.
A lot of buzz around what could happen with Giannis. What are you hearing regarding the market for him, the trade conversation, and are you hearing anything about the Mavs also possibly moving Kyrie? Minnesota, I guess, they're throwing their name in there.
As far as Giannis, I would be surprised if he was still in Milwaukee to start next year. I think the writing has been on the wall for a while, guys, in that what he doesn't really seemingly want to say publicly is he's just kind of done. He's had it in Milwaukee. It doesn't feel like the fit is there. And that team is years away from being in any kind of contention again. Now, where he lands, that's what the entire league's trying to figure out. I think the most intriguing place for me as I'm watching it unfold would probably be Miami, because they got the pieces back, Milwaukee did, that Miami can offer. If you plug Giannis in Miami and you've got Bam Adebayo, I would like to believe that there are lots of NBA players that are like, hey, I can live in Florida and I can play with those two guys. Yeah, sign me up. So that is interesting, at least from a basketball standpoint. Now, whether it happens, we'll see. Now, specific to the Mavs, it would surprise me if they moved off Kyrie at this point, just because I think they want to see what it looks like and what it looks like with Cooper Flagg and try to kind of build a rhythm between those two guys. But if I've learned anything through the years, guys, as it pertains to Kyrie, anything is possible. And I know he's coming back off the injury and there are question marks there, but we'll see, especially with Masai in place and that new front office, how everything shakes out over the next few months here.
Terrific report, Nick. Enjoy the rest of these finals, and we'll try to catch up with you real soon.
You got it, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Salute. Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider, brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026. What a game that's going down right now. Canada almost equalized. Backside defender basically swept it off the line and knocked it off the crossbar and out. Then Bosnia came back down the pitch, had a one-on-one with the Canada goalkeeper. He came out and made the save. And it's 1-0, Bosnia, 55th minute, second half of World Cup game number 3. You're gonna want to join the fellas tonight. Fred's going to be out there. Chief, Wolchuk, Lucia's going to be out there. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in U-List for a USA watch party starting at 7:30. Game starts at 8, so they'll see you out there. Coming up next, it's time to hit the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, and everything rattling around with America's team as they get set for minicamp is next year.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Ro's free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Ro. Go to ro.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Ro membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to ro.co/safety, Rx only.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. What have we learned at OTAs? What else is shaking around out there? The George Pickens news from last night continues to be top of mind for Cowboys fans and probably the top story in the NFL next week if he does not arrive at mandatory minicamp and accepts a pretty significant fine in order to just not be here. It definitely make me curious about what his training camp plans are and his regular season plans and if he could be plotting up as anything as extreme as what Micah Parsons did last year, suggesting that and he would exaggerate his injury to withhold services from the Cowboys. That might have been the straw that broke the back for Jerry Jones. So I can't imagine thinking we could have all of this lined up with everything that we've done this offseason to let it swing on not giving George Pickens a contract that he wants. But we know the Cowboys look at things significantly differently, especially Stephen Jones, who, still trying to win the Super Bowl by managing the cap conservatively. And it's a tough place to be for Cowboys fans, so we will hope for the best and that the George Pickens saga does not play out like Micah's did last summer. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, if you missed it, Nick Harris was down there last night at his camp in Corpus Christi. It went off great, and he asked him if he was going to be at mandatory minicamp, and George said and paused, and then a representative from his agency kind of cut off the questioning at that point. So maybe he's being advised to not talk about it just to, you know, make the Cowboys sweat as much as possible. I don't think he would have signed the tag if he really wanted to hold out. So
I agree.
I think he's going to show up and just say, I just didn't want to get hurt, you know. And I would love it if he would say that right now. Like, I'm going to totally play and I'll see you at training camp, but between now and then I'm not going to do much and I just don't want to get hurt. I think we could all understand that because yes, we know the yes. Sean Lee situations. And hell, the Giants have 3 torn Achilles.
They do.
Since OTA started. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of justification, I think, for making sure you don't get hurt if you don't have the long-term deal. We just come up short again with the equalizer for Canada.
Yeah, just wide of the net there, trying to get a pretty nice shot outside the box as Canada's really trying to push now as they're in the 66th minute down a goal.
Yeah, it's this would be a pretty big upset. I think Bosnia ranked 65th, Canada ranked around 30th. And as the host nation, that would be a massive disappointment, all the buildup and excitement. And you're trying to build momentum up there just as we are here in the USA. That would be a tough loss to take. USA and Paraguay coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. Join Wolchuk, Chiafalo, Lucius, and Fred at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. The best yak wide receiver in the league. Maybe the stats don't agree with that, but my eyeballs tell me he is. He's also the best contested catch player last year, tied for 2nd in the NFL in total contested catches, 2nd in the NFL in contested catch yardage. It'd be a massive blow to this offense. I'm pretty confident that what you saw last year is what you're going to get with George Pickens. I don't know that his training camp participation or lack thereof would be a massive scale tipper one way or the other. You know, I don't think practice and film is his game. I think his game is, I'm going to go out here and get open and throw the ball up. I'm going to grab it.
So the CeeDee Lamb situation from a couple of years ago doesn't frighten you, or just the general history of some guys that end up getting some type of soft tissue injury?
I mean, Lamb's 24 was great. You know, it was actually 25 that is kind of the outlier over the last 5 years when you look at the underlying metrics and like yards per route run. Like, his yak took a hit last year, and maybe that was injury related, but I felt like, you know, CeeDee Lamb was really good in 2024 and the full training camp last year. It can, you know, I think you can struggle and maybe you're looking for something for the explanation as to why. And, I think once you have figured out your position, you're good. You know, maybe if it happens very early in your career when you should be learning, but if you're established in the league and inside the offense, I think they have a pretty dang good idea how to get you the ball. Okay, listen to the latest Athletic Football podcast. They were talking about what offenses could do to be better. And there were a couple of things for the Cowboys that we hadn't talked about. Number one, being able to better run the ball in heavy personnel. The other day we talked about how the Cowboys were the best team in 11 in the entire league. But you come up against a team that can defend well in nickel but are vulnerable in base. You don't really have the ability to punish them on this football team. You become very, very average or maybe even below average when it comes to running the ball in heavy personnels. And they did not add physicality to the offense. No tight end, no fullback, no more physical offensive linemen. So how do you get around that? And I think that goes to what Dak Prescott said this week, which was what he believes is the number one place they can improve, and that would be inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The top three teams in red zone efficiency last year were three of the best running teams in football. Tremendous offensive lines. I don't know how you snap your fingers or even scheme it up to make yourself better in the red zone without becoming more physical or having a better running back weapon. I think all their runs inside the red zone for touchdowns, there were 11 of them. They all came from with inside the 10. Mickey Spagnuolo had that in his story this week on DallasCowboys.com.
I think a lot of it is winning your own individual matchups. And, you know, one thing that they've struggled with is how oftentimes are they now first and goal at the 7, and here's a holding penalty or here's a false start. You know, penalties are an issue, but it also comes from, one, better offensive line play, more consistency. Can you stay healthy? You dealt with injuries last year. But I think also being able to keep Javonte Williams a little bit more fresh probably goes a long way to that as well. That's the impact of Jaden Blue. Actually, okay, we're buying into this. We're buying stock. Everything we're hearing about him right now in Kool-Aid season ends up coming to fruition. Phil Maffa, can he give you a little bit of something there? But I think the tight ends blocking. I think Jake Ferguson has shown you a willingness to block. Consistency has been a problem. I think Brevin Spanford is a guy that they're going to give a lot more opportunities to this year, and he is a good blocking tight end. And then it comes down to who is the third guy that you trust if you want to play 13 personnel. Is it Michael Trigg? Does Michael Trigg emerge as that undrafted rookie free agent who I think could be an absolute red zone weapon for you based on his size and his ability to high point the football? But if that doesn't happen, then who is that other tight end for you if you want to go heavy with 12 or 13 personnel sets?
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Spanford, you know, as a blocker. And I think there's some gold to be harvested in the passing game as well. I think Schoonmaker should be athletic enough and strong enough to be serviceable. And going into year four in the league, this is like your last chance of having a breakout. And you're not asking for a lot. Just be the threat. We want to get into 12 and 13 and run it a lot. And then when you're convinced we're going to run it, then we're going to go play action and pass it. And I think Schoonie can do that. You know, if you're going to try to target, let's get 50 or 60 catches out of Schoonie and 700 or 800 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, that's going to be a fail. Mm-hmm. But we saw in the draft the influx of drafting guys, and they're not thinking these are stars. They're thinking these are 300 to 500 yard players who are serviceable in the blocking game and will punish your ass if you want to play light in the box. That's all you need to do. And it seems that, you know, at least that part of it should be something that with an entire offseason of focus they could pull off.
They just had the sprinklers turn on during this match.
Oopsie.
I guess, they didn't set the timer or turn the timer off. But, yeah, I don't know. I think in a perfect world, Luke Schoonmaker's not even on the roster. Because that means that I think that, one, Brevin Spanford's taking another step. And I'm really hopeful that Michael Trigg can just take that third spot. Because he gives you something that none of these other tight ends have. And that's a legitimate field stretching down the field weapon as a receiving type of tight end. To me, Schoonmaker just hasn't shown it as a blocker. Like, that should have been what was his bread and butter coming out of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it just has not been there.
Not at all.
But if you're inefficient when you're in 12 and 13 and your only other guy is Spanford, Schoonmaker knows your offense. He knows your guys. You know what he can do and he can't do. If you are going to say we're going to roster build with two physical tight ends that can block, taking Schoonie off the team takes you out of that mix. And if you're already struggling in heavy personnel to be efficient, I don't know. Has the blocking been that bad, Brian? Let's hear from you on this subject.
Yeah, I think to me, what you were talking about with
Scooney.
Scooney, oh, it's there's times where, and listen, I'm not trying to ride the fence or make it good for him, but at a Michigan, he is not the same guy that he was at Michigan. He was a much better point of attack, you know, hip to hip, get push, get to second level, you know, turn guys, get guys out of the hole. The NFL is a lot different for him. There's a lot of times where he doesn't stay connected. He's not able to get any type of movement. He gets thrown off blocks. His footwork's bad. It's been a struggle for him overall just to try and be even serviceable at that.
Well, if that's the case, maybe he's got to go, and I would be looking at plucking somebody off another roster. Now, how about Lipke? Can he be more of a force?
See, I think Lipke is kind of a one-shot blocker to me. There'll be times where you see him go up in there. He doesn't always hit square. I call it a little bit of half man. He'll go up in there and he'll just get half of the defender instead of, you know, you watch the guys like the really good ones, and it's probably unfair for me to do this to him. But you watch the Kyle Juszczyks and guys like that, and they play on the move. They hit you square. They keep their feet going. They're climbing blocks. It's been a real, real problem for him to have any kind of sustain.
Well, I mean, they paid you, and you're not a dominant runner. You're not a dominant pass catcher.
I think they paid this guy because he never comes off the field. Well, in a way, if you look, he plays all the special teams when they use him, and you know he's okay. And I'm not saying that in a nice. I'm saying that is probably why. Oh, man, we'd love to have this guy because, you know, if they don't figure out how to get the second or the third running back as a good blitz pickup guy,
that's where Lipke
he's likely going to be your second running back because people they're not going to put guys in there that are going to be liabilities as pass blockers.
He could be a guy, though, to your point, that I think could be, you know, an option in the red zone. I mean, he's a tough downhill runner. He had that fumble against Miami at the one-yard line, you know, 2 years ago, and it's like they've never really given him a chance since then. But then why did you pay him? So I wouldn't mind seeing if you could – can you be creative at all with ways to use Hunter Lipke maybe down there in the red area?
Yeah, the red zone's huge. You know, if you could just get to the top 10, you would add 3 more touchdowns. If you would get to the top 6, you would add 6 more touchdowns based on last year's numbers. If you would, you know, have an uptick in your efficiency. Cowboys had the second most yards in the NFL last year, but were 16th best when it came to red zone efficiency. And if you're looking for how you get better at that throughout Dak's career, it's always been through a dominant offensive line and running game. And that's not a shot at Dak. That holds true for pretty much all the best red zone teams year in and year out. It's what you got to do to be better down there. And I would also add this. The Cowboys in red zone EPA per play passing the ball last year, 26th.
Dang.
Running the ball,
that's
19th.
Wow.
So and you had a heavy split towards passing the ball and not running the ball. So I'm not acting like they were awesome at running it, but they were significantly better. And sometimes you have to be able to look your star receivers in the eyes and say, guys, we're not forcing touchdowns to you because you're not good enough at it. We were 26th in the NFL in EPA per pass in the red zone. How are we continuing to think that's a path to glory?
Yeah, that's crazy, and it's really inexcusable when you have Dak playing at that level. You have Pickens and Lamb.
Yeah,
like that should be a huge priority for Clayton Adams to try and figure out what are we doing schematically that's not working for us, because there's no reason why the trio of those guys shouldn't be able to be dominant as a passing offense in the red zone.
And Jake Ferguson's a good tight end. Javonte Williams was very good at catching the ball and running it in. Like, how are defenses able to slow down your passing game to that extent and you're not feasting in the run game? There's big opportunity there. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's play the game of, will these guys be pros, all pros?
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Canada equalized there while we were on break, and they are tied at one with Bosnia-Herzegovina in the 86th minute. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of this one as well. Just want to shout out, say congratulations to Juan Hernandez. You guys are asking me who Juan Hernandez is?
QNS.
Who's Juan?
Juan Hernandez. He's a man working as a welder at SpaceX.
Oh.
For $28 an hour, he just became a millionaire.
Wow.
Juan, who came from Mexico, welding rockets for SpaceX at $28 an hour. SpaceX gave him $10,000 in stock when he went full-time in 2015. He bought more with every paycheck for 10 years.
His stock was probably like $2.15 or something like that when he got it, too.
His stock is now trading at $167, making his share worth over $1 million.
That's
the tree's got to eat, baby.
Yeah. We forgot our first trillionaire, right?
Yeah.
Are you part of this one, Lucius? Were you part of this
No,
five?
If I'm not in that initial phase, I'm not going to go chase this part.
You're not going to chase this part?
I'm not going to chase it.
Most valuable IPO since Aramco, which would be the Saudi American oil company.
Mm.
But the most profitable one, I guess. So we got a trillionaire in this world. One Elon Musk. Still can't fix my Twitter, though.
You still can't get those rockets to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, those rockets.
Every time I look up, they're exploding.
I think he's doing better than Bezos, though. I think Bezos had one blow up on the pad the other day. I think it was like,
fun.
Launch, and then it just his mat. Like there was video from airlines, like people flying over the area.
Yeah, I see that.
And you could see the explosion on the pad of these rockets. So anyway, but we had an IPO offering today for SpaceX.
Wow.
And so congratulations to that crew. All right. I like to play a little game with you guys. Not a guessing game or anything. Like, well, a little bit maybe it's a guessing game. Let's go through the Cowboy. I got some names, these Cowboy players. A little preseason June football game. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
Love it.
The heading is All Pro, Pro Bowl, or No Pro. That's my heading.
No pro.
All Pro, Pro Bowl,
No Pro.
Okay.
Not a GoPro.
And I want.
No pro.
I'm going to give you these players, and I'm going to keep score on this one because I'll keep the sheet. And I want you to tell me when I name this player if they fall into the category of Pro Bowl, All Pro, Pro Bowl, or No Pro. Okay.
Okay.
Is that cool? Dawson, we good on this one?
Yeah. You make the rules, bro.
I make the rules.
Is this in their past or 5 more minutes?
This right now. This is next year in
right here.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. How about George Pickens to start the day? Go for it, Woolchuck.
I'm going to go with All-Pro. I think George Pickens, he's coming off an All-Pro caliber season. I don't see why that's going to change this season either. I mean, regardless of him and CD, I think both on the field, clearly they can be productive. I'll go All-Pro for GP.
All-Pro, and then that would lead to probably a Pro Bowl too, right?
100%.
Okay. How about you there, Wool? Oh, excuse me, Chieftain? Yeah, I was looking right at you. I said, "Well,
all pro."
Yeah, I mean, I will go all pro here as well. I mean, there's just so much on the line for him. I think he's going to play like a madman, and I think Dak will also try and assist him in being able to get him paid in a big way.
Dawson,
I'll just say pro bowler.
Okay,
you know what? Do we have three receivers on an all pro team?
I think it's three. Yes, sir. I think
it could be second team all pro, right?
Yeah, second team all pro.
Six in total.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess I don't believe the media or the league respects George as much as I do, and I don't expect that to change. After a holdout, they're going to be saying so unprofessional. I don't think he's going to change many of his habits.
Yeah.
So I think he's the most underrated receiver in football.
Okay.
How about Cooper Beebe? Let's go with you, Dawson. All-pro, pro bowl, no pro.
Man, it's possible, but I'll just say solid starter. No, is that a no pro?
That's no pro.
Okay, no pro.
No pro there. How about you there, Wooly?
I'm going to go pro bowl. I think this is a breakout type of year for Cooper Beebe where he puts himself in the conversation for best centers in football. And I'm going to say that starts with the pro bowl team, and hopefully we look at all pros, you know, in the ensuing seasons.
Chieftain?
Yeah, I'm going Pro Bowl as well. I do think this will be a really nice year for BB. Healthy Tyler Smith next to him, Tyler Booker as well. Just that trio is going to be so dominant. I think BB will be a Pro Bowler.
Wooly, Tyler Booker.
I think Tyler Booker's an all-pro. I think Tyler Booker had an outstanding rookie season. I think he was just a step below kind of what we've seen from some other Cowboy rookies in their first years, the Tyler Smiths, the Zach Martins. But I think Tyler Booker is going to put himself as, you know, him and Tyler Smith right there. That's the best guard duo in football, and Tyler Booker is going to be viewed as already one of the best guards in all of the National Football League.
Chief?
Yeah, give me Pro Bowl. Okay. I don't know that we're getting to the all-pro level in year two, but I got a ton of respect for him.
Dawson?
Yeah, really good player, but I agree with the Chief. You know, I think some of those things we talked about last year around this time as we were getting to know who he was as far as the mobility and where his shortcomings were, it's a big challenge for him. It's not something that just a year of experience is going to solve.
How about this one for you, Chief? Dak Prescott.
I mean, Pro Bowl for sure.
Okay.
All pro will be tough, but I mean, because for the, you're talking about, is he a top two quarterback in the league?
Sure.
I'm not going to go that far with it. So Pro Bowl for sure.
Dawson?
Yeah, I'm comfortable saying Dak Pro Bowler. Some stuff's going to have to line up for all pro.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I think Pro Bowl's fair. I don't know that. I mean, in the NFC, he's got a chance. Matthew Stafford was the all-pro quarterback. Does Stafford have the same season? But I think Pro Bowl is probably the safe bet.
Is there a chance anybody thought he would no pro?
Yeah, I think there's only a chance.
I think only if he's injured. You know, I think the health is the only thing that'll ruin that. But if he's healthy, he's gonna put up really solid numbers.
Rashawn Gary.
I'll go no pro.
How about you, Dawson?
I would tend to agree with Chief. You know, that's a glamour position. That's a star position. And he could have a great year with six sacks, but not get recognized. So I'll go no pro.
Wooly?
Yeah, I agree. There's just too many other edges that you would, you know, have above him to even make probably the Pro Bowl team. So that's a no pro.
How about DeMarrion Overshown?
Ooh, I think Pro Bowl is definitely possible if he can get back to the 2024 version of himself. There's just too many questions about his health that will lead me to the no pro.
Dawson?
Man, I guess if this green dot thing works out perfect, I could see all pro with his athleticism and his ability to make plays. He's going to, you know, maybe get a fumble and an interception and some sacks and some pressures. But I also think there's maybe a better chance that it swings the other way and fans are frustrated with Overshown and seeing him as part of the problem and not part of the solution because they're asking him to do something that's not natural for him. So I would go no pro on DeMarvian Overshown.
How about you, Wooly?
I'm going to go Pro Bowl for him. I think that the football gods smile on him in a contract year. Weird things kind of happen like that, and he finally is healthy for a full season, and he goes out and puts up some really good numbers and balls out to get himself a nice payday. So I'll go Pro Bowl for Overshown.
My last one for you guys, Caleb Downs.
Walchuk, is there a Hall of Fame option here? Can he make the Hall in year one? I'll go Pro Bowl. I think we'll have a Pro Bowl season.
Pro Bowl with Caleb Downs. Woolley?
Yeah, I think Pro Bowl's good for Caleb. I mean, I think that he absolutely has a chance to be sniffing All-Pro, but I'll say year one as a rookie, we'll go Pro Bowl.
Dawson?
He's going no pro, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no pro just because, not him, but I think the Cowboys' defense would have to be significantly better. And one of the worst defenses in the NFL is what I'm getting ready for. So I don't think he could be individually recognized unless he gets a ton of picks, which he doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have now gotten this great accumulation of safeties that are being recognized for their Swiss Army knife capabilities. And for you to emerge as a rookie and like overcome them in the – you know, in the voters' minds, I think, is a lot to ask.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There it is, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. We got two down and 90 minutes to go. Jared Sandler is going to join us and tell you what you need to know about Rangers Red Sox this weekend. Coming up next, the fam.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.